Often we don't remember to thank God for the past. That's why we never secure the future. God who kept you all the years can keep you the remaining days of your life. Why don't you join me? Let us thank Him for the past, for protection, for preservation, and every blessing of long life that is given to you. He gave you life in the first place. I'd like you to thank Him. He gave you the privilege to be alive. Thank Him from the depth of your heart. Many die in the womb. Several others die at infancy. Many as youths, they didn't have the opportunity to enjoy life. Here you are. You are 30. You are 40. You are 50. You are 60. Thank Him. Thank Him. Thank Him. Another day is here. You didn't pay for it. You laid down. You slept. You woke up because He sustained you. Thank Him for health. Thank Him for goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for everything. Bless His name. Bless His name. Bless His name. For the Lord is good and His mercies endures forever. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name we are prayed. The word of God is the word of life. Father, speak your word of life to me this morning. Speak your word of life to me this morning. I open up, pour your word of life into me. Your word that will make me live. Your word that will make me strong. Your word that will protect me. Send your word to me. Give me your word, even the words of life. I receive it. I will not just hear your word. I receive your word in my heart. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we are praying. All the saints of God that will live and not die, show it with your loudest amen. Please get seated and give God a big hand. It's worthy of our praise. It is my year of breaking limits. So shall it be established for you. It is with joy that I welcome you again, wonderful people of God, saints of the Most High God, into this special anointing service, which is also our covenant day of long life. Whatever name Adam called it is what he answered. Today has been declared as a day of renewal of our covenant of long life. You shall live long. I thought somebody said amen. You shall not die. Whatever negative report has been given to you is made invalid today. Say louder amen. Who is he that saith and cometh to pass when the Lord of hosts has not commanded it? Men may say what they think, but God has not commanded it. So it shall not stand. They may say you have one more year to live. God said you shall not die. I thought you said amen to that. Your God is bigger than that doctor. Even that doctor does not have the assurance of how he will live. He's not sure, but God is sure. God is alive forevermore. God says to you, you shall not die. What will you say to yourself? But what? To do what? Confirm with your amen. The prophetic theme for this month is financial fortune is my heritage in Christ. As I remarked in the first service, coming to Jesus, coming is coming into fortune. In Ephesians chapter 1, he said he has prepared for us an inheritance. We are brought into an inheritance. God prepared for you before he saved you. Just like parents prepare for their children before they are born. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, been predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There is an inheritance that waited for you, or rather that awaits you before you are born. And part of it is fortune, financial fortune. You can't be born by prosperous parents and be living as a pauper. Your father God is prosperous, and that means you are born into prosperity. Say loud, amen. Our teaching series, every Sunday, this being part 3B, is captioned Gateways to Financial Fortune. God is a God of ways. If you know his ways, you'll never struggle again in life. All your struggles are ended today. To begin with, the subject of prosperity is covenant based. It's covenant based. What is a covenant? Simply put, a covenant is a deal enacted by God or between God and us, based on well-defined terms and sealed with an oath. It's an agreement, in a simple term, between God and us. He tells us what to do, and he promised us what he would do. With an agreement in place, there's no need for crying. Each time you cry to God, God is saying, my son, check the agreement. Check the agreement. Don't cry to me. Check the agreement. The covenant is platform between you and God. It is the meeting place. And it will interest you to know that the covenant cannot be broken. Psalm 89 verse 34. The covenant cannot be forgotten. Psalm 105 verse 8. The covenant will always be respected. Psalm 74 verse 20. Have respect unto the covenant. God respects the covenant. He remembers the covenant. He keeps the covenant. You don't beg to prosper. You practice the covenant to prosper. As long as prosperity is concerned, giving is the anchor. Giving is the anchor. If you are not a giver, you have already failed the course of prosperity. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20-22 establishes these scriptures very clearly. Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. So you have to be an altar builder. An altar builder. Altar of giving. And he took of every clean beast. If you are not prepared to take from what you have, it will never increase. He took of every clean offering, and of every clean fowl, and offered. So you build the altar, you take the clean beast, you offer it as burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Now, if you think that you are giving to the church, you have made a mistake. You are giving to God a smell, a smell. He smells our offering. To show how interested God is in offering that we give. Not because he has a need, but to have a spiritual transaction with us. Jesus stood at the altar when people were giving to remark on their giving. If you check the gospel, Jesus taught a lot about money. He smelled the sacrifice.
And he said, verse 22, this will be the order. As long as you live in this world, seed time must precede harvest time. Many people are busy looking for harvest when all they need to do is to give their seed. Don't beg to be given. Do your part. Matthew 6:38. Give. Say with me, I will give. Not everybody is saying that. Make that commitment, I will give. And what will happen? Pray. Pray. Is there a prayer there? Is there a prayer there? Give. And you will not need to pray, because it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? Somebody say amen. Did he mention anybody's name there? Men. Men. It can be any man. It can be any woman. And they can be from anywhere. Did you hear what I've said? They can be anywhere. Your blessing is not tied to a blessing or to a place. Most of the blessing I receive come from unexpected, or rather unimagined sources. Unimagined. Unimagined. From far and near. Unimagined. There is no geographical limitation as far as your harvest is concerned. Please lift up your hands. I decree that your blessings will come from far and near. Your blessing will come from far and near. Say with me again, I give and it shall be given to me. First thing first, don't ask who will give to me. Ask who will I give to. I hear many people say, oh Lord, send to me my destiny helper. Why can't you say, Lord, make me somebody's destiny helper? For it is more blessed to give than to receive. Stop praying. God, send me destiny helper. Why are you not the one helping somebody else? Habba. Why are you the one looking for who to give to you and get angry when they don't give to you? Can you see? That's what we are talking about. They have money, but they won't give to anybody. Your anger will take you nowhere. It will take you nowhere. You are angry for nothing. Find out those who are blessed, how they are blessed. It is via their giving. Say loud, amen. Amen. Now, with this understanding, let's go to find out, how does God bless? God is a God of ways. Remember, we're looking at gateways to financial fortune. Number one, God blesses his children through divine direction. It is God's guidance that makes great. God led or guided Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. God told him, move to the next place. You see, our blessings are tied to the guidance of God. If you make God your guide, then you have engaged him as your source of prosperity. He will always bless you to wherever he leads you. Business people, don't jump into business opportunities. Wait for God's guidance. Be taking steps, but as you are taking steps, be listening to God. Don't make a mistake. I didn't say don't take a step. I didn't say keep sitting down and waiting for God's guidance so that somebody will not wake up tomorrow morning, they say, won't you do anything? I'm waiting for God to guide me. I'm waiting for God to guide me. No, that's not what I'm saying. Take steps, but be listening to God. Take steps, but be listening. I didn't say don't take advantage of opportunities. When opportunity comes, embrace it. But while you embrace it, be listening to God. Be listening to God. And Abraham moved, verse 4. And in chapter 13, the following chapter, God had blessed Abraham. He was very rich in cattle and in silver and in gold. It doesn't take time, it takes guidance. Divine guidance bridges time. It shortens the time for you. The time of 5 years you will have waited, it makes everything happen in 6 months. Do you know there are individuals here, what you have been looking for the last 6 years, between now and December, they shall be fully delivered to you. Lift up your hand and say with me, dear Father, guide me to where my prosperity is waiting for me. Do you believe that prayer? This week, God will guide you. Abraham's son, Isaac, saw famine in chapter 26, and he wanted to leave where he was to go to Egypt. And the Lord said to him, stay here, don't go. Stay in this place. I will be with you. I will bless you. Stay here. There is a place where you stay. Your blessing will be flowing to you. This week, God will lead you to such a place. Your amen will make it happen. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 20. See how God is committed to your guidance. I am the Lord your God, your Redeemer. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. He teaches us to profit. He leads us in the way that we should go. God's guidance always results in man's greatness. Every great man in this kingdom is a guided man. Every leader in this kingdom is a led man. Every prominent man in this kingdom is one who is led by God. Verse 21, and they tasted not when he led them. Dryness cannot be of any concern when you are guided by God. When he led them through the desert, where you are going through now may be a desert, but let it be God's leading. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He cleared the rock also, and the waters gushed out. In the midst of hard times, God will make water to gush out for you. Make that amen louder. Number two, how does God bless? God blesses us through the works of our hands. Through the works of our hands. Through the works of our hands. In hard times, be hardworking. Many people, because of the time of coronavirus, have stopped working. The cure to hard time is hard work. Hard work is the cure to hard times. The more things get hard, the harder you should work. Isaac, in the midst of hard time, Genesis 26 verse 12, Isaac sowed in the land. Isaac was digging wells. He was digging. The hard soil couldn't stop him. He was digging wells. He was digging. They covered the one he dug. He dug another one. Hard work is the answer to hard times. It is understood in management that if you are hardworking, you will be 50%, or rather, you will be ahead of 50% of your peers. Hard work puts people in front. God honors hard work. He said, whatsoever you lay your hands on to do shall prosper. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Are your hands working? If they are not working, your pockets cannot be full. It's a common story among all successful people. They are hard workers. Hard workers. Says that a man diligent in his business, Proverbs 22:29, he shall stand before kings and not before men. By the grace of God, I'm where I am today, not by luck, but by work. Not by luck, but by work. Those who wait for luck will be locked inside. Those who work, things will work for them. Say with me, I will work. I didn't hear you well. Say it one more time. The harder it is, the harder you work. Work hard to terminate hard times. Number three, how does God bless? Through the rain of divine ideas. There is something between your hand, your giving hand, and your mental faculty. Giving fertilizes the brain. You will discover that most givers always get more ideas so they can get more money to give, and the more they give, the more they have their brain fertilized with divine ideas. They always know the next thing to do so that God can bless them to bless others. So, if you're a giver, God will guide you as He guided Colinius. If you're a giver, God will make you prosper in that time. If you're a giver, He will give you divine ideas. Jacob was very hardworking in the midst of his father-in-law's opposition. And as a result of his hard work, Genesis chapter 30 and chapter 31, God opened his eyes to see what he should do. His father-in-law changed his wages 7 times, but that did not make any difference. God made them to prosper. No matter who is scheming against you, God will give you divine ideas to beat them. He will give you divine ideas to beat their hands down. That's why you don't have to steal. You don't have to steal. I hear some people say, it's not possible to do business, righteous business in Nigeria. It's not true. If God gives you an idea, nobody can stop you. It's possible to do business in Nigeria without corner, without stealing. You don't have to join them. There are people who are prospering without stealing. Stop stealing. Stop that corner business. If you are a giver, no matter who is scheming against you, God will give you divine ideas. Can I ask you to put your hand on your forehead, please? This week, God will give you divine ideas. This week, God will give you divine ideas. I have met a number of members of this church who do their business without stealing and do their business not even borrowing from any bank. Without borrowing from any bank, God gives them ideas on how to move forward. Our covenant fathers were not borrowing to do their business. Abraham was not a borrower. Isaac was not a borrower. Jacob was not a borrower. Where did you learn your own from? And they were very prosperous. The economy, the personal economy of Isaac was heavier than the economy of the Philistines, to a point that they envied him and told him, please go, go. He became a monopoly. They begged him to go so that their economy would not be shaken. God will take you there. Now, what are the fringe benefits from our giving? What do you get from giving? Number one, giving engenders peace. Through giving, you can purchase peace for your life, for your family, for your community. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 11, all the way to 15 and verse 19. And they offered, look at that, they offered. Most kings that enjoy peace gave offering. Hezekiah enjoyed peace. David enjoyed peace. Solomon enjoyed peace. They offered unto the Lord the same time. Offering terminates crisis of the spoil which they had brought. 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. They entered into a covenant to serve the Lord their God. And in verse 15, God gave them peace round about. He gave them peace round about. He gave them rest round about. And in verse 19, the definition of the rest, 35 years, there was no war. Your giving will procure for you peace. Say loud, amen. That's why when you are facing crisis beyond measure, make a sacrifice. And like it happened to David, the plague will stop. Number two, fringe benefit from our giving. Giving engenders divine protection. Divine protection. Psalm 20, verse 1 to 3, the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen the heart of Zion. How? By remembering all your offerings. Offerings are given for a memorial. For a memorial. Offering goes to wait for you in the day of your trouble. Acts chapter 10. God said concerning Cornelius, verses 2 and 3, that your prayer is heard and your giving are come up for a memorial before God. Your giving is not just for your receiving money. Your giving is recorded as a memorial for the day of trouble, for your protection. Number 3, your giving engenders divine health. Psalm 41 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man or the woman that considereth the poor. Consider the poor. Plan for the poor. Budget for the poor. Separate for the poor. What will happen? As a result, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. He will not be delivered to the will of his enemy. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. That will keep him and keep his bed for him. When you are a giver, you secure longevity. Or rather, you secure divine health. We can't stop telling the story of the first American billionaire, John D. Rockefeller. He was diagnosed to have a terminal disease at age 51. And they gave him one more year to live, to pass on at age 52. But he decided to sell 50% of his goods and started giving. And the more he gave, the healthier he became. The man that was to die at 52 lived to 93. 41 years added. How? Give to the poor. I don't want the poor to die. I want them to be healthy. God said, you too shall live. Whatever a man gives is what he gets back in return. And number 4, fringe benefit from our giving is longevity. Longevity. You can use your giving to extend your living. Abraham was a giver, himself and his wife. Chapter 18 of Genesis, verses 1 to 10, they entertained strangers. And in chapter 25, verse 8, Abraham lived long. Job was a giver. After his ordeal, he lived 160 years more. After this, after all his trouble, lived Job. And 140 years. And saw his sons and his sons' sons even 4 generations. That will be your story. You will see your children married. You will see their children married. And Job died full of age. He lived long. You too shall live long. There is the story of a woman called Dorcas in Acts of the Apostles chapter 14. Dorcas died. And the widows stood around her with the cloth she made for them, crying. Oh, why would this woman go? And I suppose that while they were crying, God checked in the community where Dorcas died, whether there will be a replacement for her, whether there will be somebody who will take that place. When God could not find anybody, he sent back Dorcas. Dorcas, go back and keep helping me to take care of the widows. That was it. He was restored back to life. For as long as you are catering for others, God will keep you alive. Let me say this. There are many of us who don't even care for our parents. You are playing with untimely death. Honor thy father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live long, that you may live long, that you may live long, that you may live long. I have discovered that children who truly take care of your parents don't die before their parents. That they may live long. You want to live long? Honor your father. Honor your mother. Buy car for them. Build house for them. Put driver. Even if they are not going anywhere, put driver there. He goes out once in a day, let the driver be there. He says, how can I be wasting my money when I know he will almost die? So that he can die and then you now spend 50 million for burial. What a shame. What a shame. I vowed my parents will see everything they need to see before they die. So when they reach age 70, age 80, elaborate bad day for them. Elaborate. Not that you now die and now be buying 20 cows and buying 50 bags of rice. Nonsense. Nonsense. Waste of time. Anybody stockpiling money to bury his parents is a fool. Complete fool. Your parents will bless you when they have eaten alive. Isaac blessed Jacob after he ate venison from him. You will live long. Covenant requirement for working in financial fortune. Number one, be a tither. Things never get tight for tithers. Be a tither. What is tight? One-tenth of your income. By the grace of God, since 1979, I've been a tither. When I earned the salary, 96 naira, as a clerk. 79. Don't blame God for blessing me. Remember the journey. Think of the journey. You started last year, you have stopped. And you are blaming God. 79 till date. Calculate the time. Be committed to your tithe. Don't say things are hard. The cheapest way to stop it is by tithe. Number two, make sacrifices. Haggai chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Climb the mountain. Do like Noah. Do like David. Do like Abraham. Make your sacrifice. Number three, again, give to the needy. Give to the needy. Job was committed to the needy. Job 29, verses 12 to 17. He was committed to the needy. Look for areas of need, beginning with your community, in the compound where you live, in the estate where you live, in the village you came from. Look for how to help the poor. Like I remarked in the first service, every December, my wife and I will go back to our country home with focus, medical care for the people, specifying all of their minor needs, and especially for eye troubles. We provide medical glasses for people every year, hundreds of them every year. We bring in not less than 15 experts from different places to come and join us in taking care of them, including eye surgery, cataract, and all of that removed from them, free of charge. Fully paid for by the grace of God. Cater for the poor, because the poor is the heartbeat of God. The widows, the poor, the indigent children, they are the heartbeat of God. May you receive grace to be a covenant practitioner. May you receive grace to be a covenant practitioner. May you receive grace to be a covenant practitioner. Do you know what is killing many people today is what they are eating? Eat your money. Eat alone. Eat and die. We live in a generation of eat and die. You either eat and die or give and live. Eat and die or give and live. May you receive grace for it. A louder amen from you. If you can, one more time, lift up your hand and shout, I shall not die. I shall live. Now, covenant is also, long life is also based on covenant. We have a covenant of longevity with God. It's a covenant that God made with us. Genesis 6:3. God said it without begging for it. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days, the days of man, shall be what? Read with me, everybody. Shall be what? Shall be what? If you are expecting that, say it. Who said so? And what are you saying? 120. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Psalm 107, verse 2. Say what God says, not what they say. Don't listen to analysts. You know, in our time, the average lifespan for men is about 69. And for women, because of complication, about 64. That's scientific analysis. Covenant declaration says 120.
If you believe, say, I believe.
So you need to understand this. Our fathers exemplified it. Abraham died at 175. Isaac died at 120. Genesis 35, 28 to 29. Jacob died at 147. Genesis 47, 28. Moses died at 120. Now, it was Moses that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Five books. God taught him, showed to him the history of creation. So it was him who wrote Genesis 6:3. The days of man shall be 120. And what happened? He wrote it, he believed it, he lived it, and he got it. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Look at the story of Moses. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. Don't just hear it, believe it. At 120, his eye was not dim. He didn't need any medical check, nor his natural force abated. Today, please listen to me. There is no sin in doing medical checkup, but don't put your faith in medical checkup. Any small thing, I'm going to my doctor. My doctor in Dubai. In fact, I will change to Germany now. I don't want to, that one doctor again, go to Germany. Because you have money. I grew up in a community where the old people I knew never had any medical checkup. My grandmother was 102 when she died. She was only sick for 2-3 days before she gave up the ghost. Till a day before she would die, she was singing him. She was singing him. And as she was singing him, she was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. Beware of this medical checkup. My doctor. Beware. Hear me again, please. There is no crime in doing medical checkup. There is no crime at all. No crime. But put your faith in God. Your faith in God. Your faith in God. It's very crucial. Moses was 120. He was a strange man. He was a man that led 3 million people. There was nobody sick among them. Do you know you can live without sickness in your life? You are too conscious. You go to the toilet, you urinate, and then your urine is not coming out. Prostate cancer. When did you become a medical doctor? You go to the toilet to shit, and when the shit is too much, you be like, say, this coronavirus, where they talk, won't touch me. Abba. Why are you killing yourself? Why are you killing yourself? You will live and not die. What are we saying? Check the way you imagine the scriptures. The scriptures is written for us to catch pictures of our future. David saw 70. When it was 70, he gave up. Psalm 90, verse 10. 70 years shall be the days of man. If he struggled, he will reach 80. And when David was 70, he gave up. Moses saw 120. He died at 120. Paul saw old age. He died at old age. Philippians 1, 22, 25. Philemon chapter 1, verse 9. Now, for you to enjoy long life, do the following. do the following. Number one, believe in the validity of the covenant of long life. What you believe is what you become. Moses believed it, he became it. Nobody can limit you but your faith. Your faith. It is to you according to your faith. Matthew 9, 27 to 29. Luke 1, 45. Blessed is she that believes. Say with me, I believe. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the law. Believe it. Moses had it. He believed it and it happened to him. God has no problem performing his word. He only has problem for who we believe. Somebody says, you know, because you are a young man, that's why you're talking like that. When you become the age, you also begin to see the thing. It's a lie. By the grace of God, I'll be 60 next year. This body, heavy, strong, full of vitality and energy. Don't turn yourself to jege, don't jalopy here and there. You have to carry your leg, carry your hair, carry everything for you. At 50, they are calling Papa, make them move very carefully. Amen. Now, you can never become what you don't think. As a man thinks in his heart, so he becomes. Shout amen. Thank God for my co-laborers under this commission at Goshen here. We share the pulpit together. But if I need to preach 5 services, I'm up to it by the help of God. Full of energy. Check your faith. Check your faith. Is there anything God can, he said, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Moses was climbing the mountain at 120, jumping and climbing. You trek 500 meters. You climb step to your bedroom. May I sit down first? How bad? Say with me, I shall not die. Every terminal sickness or disease found in you comes to a point of termination today. One of our pastors here, at age 64, he still rides his bicycle. 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers. Twice or three times in a week. Enjoying himself. Believe it and you will see it. Your limit is your faith and your faith is your limit. Please don't let the junk they put on your head through science hold you down. I would die believing God than to believe what science says. And you know those who believe God, they don't die. They live. Number two, lay hold on the shield of faith against premature death. Premature death is real, but you can tackle it with faith. Faith is answer to every satanic incursion. Faith is answer. Faith. Stand up with your faith and Satan will bow to you. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench. Say with me, quench. Say it again, quench. Woman in the kitchen, you know the meaning of quench? You finish quick cooking, what do? You take little water, do to what? Quench the fire. Quench. When faith is up, death is quenched. Hebrews 11:35. Women receive their children back to life. We had a testimony this morning. A child died of convulsion, and the man took the child. Child, you shall not die. You shall live. And the child snitched and jacked back to life. Jacked back to life. Everything dying in your internal organs will jack back to life now. Shout it again, I shall not die. Number three, be committed to serving God and the interests of his kingdom. Exodus 23, 25, 26, serve God in soul winning. If you preserve lives of people, your life will be preserved. Serve God through intercession. Hannah served God. Luke 2:37. She served God and she lived after being a widow for 84 years. Serving God renews your energy. You shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water. He will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The number of your days he will fulfill. Exodus 23, 25, 26. The number of your days, God is committed to fulfilling it if you are serving him. Say amen, somebody. I didn't hear that amen enough. Number four, be committed to dwelling in the house of God. Be a church man. Be a church woman. They go from strength to strength. They are renewed in their strength as they appear in Zion before God. Psalm 84, verse 7. Church attendance is not for fun. Church attendance is for life renewal. Life renewal. You know, they told our old people not to come to church during this coronavirus. Why? They want them to die. How would they live without them? Did you not hear? He said, they that find it out, they shall flourish in the cause of our God. They shall be old and still bring forth fruit. They will bring forth fruit in their old age as they appear before the Lord in Zion. I want to thank God for all of our wonderful elders here who believe God more than what they say. There are schemes of the devil telling our children not to go to church so that they can be indoctrinated and be taught the stories and the things of the new age. We are talking about Bible age, not new age. I don't care who is saying that. I am not an apologetic pastor. I am a spiritual activist. All my life, I will defend the truth of the scripture. Paul said, we are defenders of the gospel. We are not fighting anybody. We are defending our faith. We are defending our faith. The faith of our father. You know, Jesus said, with concern, when I come, will I meet faith on the heart? That means many, many believers will lose their faith. Today, there are still people who don't go to church now, according to them, because if there is crowd in church, they don't want to catch coronavirus. And like I said, what an insult for you to be thinking that it's in the church where people catch coronavirus. When you go to the market, you go to your office, you meet with people, you shake their hands for business, and you say you can't come to church. What an insult. Don't let God hear you, otherwise he may slap you. When the Bible says, in his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Abba, stop insulting God. The house of God is a place for long life. Psalm 91 verse 1, dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you shall abide under the shadow of God, Almighty God, you'll be committed to prolong your life. Now, psychologists and medical practitioners gathered together many years ago. I read this in Reader's Digest, one popular magazine. And they discovered that those who go to church minimum twice in a week hardly get sick. And if they ever get sick, they recover faster than those who don't go to church. Doctors of renown, psychologists of renown, discovered that in support to what the Bible says. And here are many who call themselves believers who don't believe it because of COVID-19. And like I told you last Sunday, it is COVID-19, not COVID-20. It has come and it has gone already. If you didn't catch coronavirus in 2019, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. You can't catch it this year. We're in a new year. And every new year brings new things. New health. New vitality. New life. Shout it again, I shall not die. Now, the next point. How to prolong your life. Be committed to speaking right words. Now listen to me. Why do people become afraid today? Because of what people are saying to them on television. If you are tied to what they are saying, what they say will soon catch you. Be careful. Don't go out. Stay in the house. Listen to the news we are giving to you. 100 people have died. 50 people are in the hospital. Nobody has recovered. Stay in your house. Don't go out. In any case, don't leave this television. We're coming back to you. They are speaking fear and death into you, and you are swallowing it. As they are saying it, you start calling your friend. Oh boy, you hear what they talk for CNN now? They say more people go die. In fact, they don't talk, say another disease they come. Make una cover your nose. Cover your nose. It is in the same way. Now, with due respect to all of you here, many people here perhaps will have died, except for the word we are speaking to you. Please don't wonder why sometimes we are speaking as if we are crazy, as if we are fighting somebody. I'm not fighting anybody. I'm fighting that devil that wants to torment your life. You shall not die. You shall live. We are challenging the threat of death that is going all around the globe. People are afraid as a result of what they are hearing. You turn to newspaper, you hear the news, your radio, the news is everywhere, the television, the news. Abba. One of our pastors told me that coronavirus pandemic is not listed among the 21st listed pandemic that ever took place in this world. People survived anyhow, including the black Africa race. We survived. They brought HIV here. HIV couldn't kill us. Abba. They vaccinated people for polio and turned them crippled and turned them into children that had invalid children. Yet our children are flourishing. Many of you don't know. Many of these children you see here and there with incomplete formation and growth, they are the result of the inoculation, the vaccine they gave to their parents. We better be enlightened and wake up. The only way to survive, speak life to yourself. Wake up in the morning. I shall not die but live. You feel any strange movement in your body, jump up. I cannot die here. Lay hands on your children. Lay hands on your wife. Tell your wife, I'm not ready to bury you. I'm not ready to become a widower. Who will be cooking for me if you die now? Tell your husband, who will give me money if you die? I love the story of a woman. The husband was dying. He looked at the man and said, stand up. You are not dying. You are not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. And the wife brought him to me. I said, did you hear what your wife said? You want me to take care of your wife in your absence? No. You must be here. You must live. You married her. You must take care of her. That's how the man lived. Amen. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. What you speak is what you get back. Say loud amen. Amen. Haven't you heard me say, this body cannot carry sickness? I've been saying that for decades, and you are testifiers. Is there any day on Sunday they came to tell you that your pastor couldn't come out today? Oh? Why? I spoke it. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. You are feeling headache. Speak life. Don't say, I have headache. You are feeling something in your tummy. That's how Satan begins. He begins in a small way. And they say, oh, we don't even know what happened to him. He just died like that. No. He didn't attack death. Attack death and live. Say again, I shall not die. What more? Keep living a praiseful life, joyful life. Thanksgiving. Wake up every morning. Father, thank you for this bright day. Don't bother about money in your pocket. Father, thank you for giving me a life. Thank you. You will take care of me today. Don't bother about your bank account. Don't bother about that abandoned project. Abandoned project, don't let it become abandoned life for you. Your tire broke down. Your battery is not working. Your engine broke down. Don't let your heart break down. Were you born with a car? If your car breaks down, speak to your leg. Speak to your leg and move forward. Don't kill yourself for nothing. You failed an exam, go and rewrite another one. You are not the first person to fail. I failed my school cert. If I don't tell you, will you know it? I woke up. What I couldn't make when I was in school, I sat down by myself and then I made it. Don't kill yourself for anything. You lose pregnancy, you want to kill yourself? Get ready to meet your worst man for another one. That's what it means. Shout a loud amen. Lift up your hand, I shall not die. With a smile on your face, say it again, I shall not die. Give God a big hand, somebody out there. Hallelujah. Your safety is in your salvation. If you are not saved, you are not safe. You know how much sin has held you down. Depression, sorrow of heart, confusion. You know how much you want to be free from drugs and you couldn't get free. You have been tied down with immorality, including pornography and all kinds of stuff. You are drinking, you don't like it, yet couldn't stop it. Taking wee-wee, you couldn't stop it. You know the missing joy in your heart. You know it. There are many people who are not sincere. That's why they have not become free. I want to talk to sincere people this morning. Jesus is your way out. Surrender to him and your life will never be the same. Stop managing life. Let Jesus give you the real life. Stop claiming you are enjoying when you too know you are not enjoying but wasting your resources. This morning, I want to call on my friends, my brothers and my sisters. You know you are not born again. You've not given your life to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. This morning, you can make your decision. You can be born again. You can be free from the hand of the devil. You can be free from sin and all that comes with it. Wherever you are seated this morning, you are saying, Pastor, please pray for me. That's why we are here. Eager to pray for you. Everybody that wants to surrender their life to Jesus. Or maybe you gave your life to Jesus, but you are backslidden. Your love for God has become cold. I'm not accusing you, but I'm challenging you to a decision. You must make a decision. Don't say the message this morning was very good. Your decision. Forget about whether it was good or not. You have to decide. Time is running. The things of this world is fading away. Nothing has value again in this world. Except those who give their life to Jesus. Stand to your feet. You want to be born again? You want to give your life to Jesus? Or you want to be restored back to the faith? Or you want to be sure of your salvation? Stand to your feet. I'd like you to take a step, come to the altar here right now. Carry your Bible and everything you come to church with. Start coming. Don't wait for anybody. Stand up and start coming. God bless you. Church, your big hand for them as they come. You prayed for them and God brought them. Don't you think you need to get excited before the Lord? Everybody, you know inside you are not born again. Don't deceive yourself. Young people, run down. Help me clap for them. They are running down. Glory to God. On the gallery, all my friends out there, you know you have not given your life to Jesus. Don't pretend. Don't sit down when you should stand up and run to the altar here right now. Church, a big hand for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there are quite a number of people seated who need to be here. Some are saying later. Later may be late. Who gave you power to know later? Don't wait till later. Today is your day of salvation. Now is the time. Indecision is your enemy. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I go? Stand up now, my friend. And come and surrender your life to Jesus. Do you want to suffer one more day in the hand of the devil? Do you want to be oppressed one more week? If you are there, seated, your mind is telling you to be here, to be prayed for, stand up now by the authority in the name of Jesus. I release you from that position of stagnation. Stand up right now. Yes, I know you will. Clap your hands for them. More people are standing up. Those of you who just stood up, I want you to run down, run down, run down. We're about to pray. God bless you. Don't leave anything you come to church with behind. God bless you. Now, if you are coming, you join us. All of you, my wonderful friends, at the altar here, put your hand on your chest. More people are coming. What a day. 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 You are the only person that is still seated. All others have left you behind. Will you be left behind? Rapture will soon take place. Will you be left behind? Now, pray with me as you are coming to join us. With your hand on your heart, say with me, Lord Jesus, I need your mercy. I want your mercy. Say it loud. I know I'm a sinner. I want to be free from the power of sin. I want to be free from this world. I want to be free from the hand of the devil. Give me your salvation. Give me your joy and peace. Make me a child of God. Thank you for saving me. Right now, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, today we commit this soul to you. No devil shall be able to snatch them from your hand. They are saved and saved eternally in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. Please open your eyes. Our church officials will guide you as you follow them right now. And you will receive your anointing where they are taking you to. God bless you, church. Your big hand for them as they go. Oh, get excited. There is joy in heaven. Over.